Hey, this is Matt Groening welcoming you to episode 1F08, Springfield, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Legalized Gambling.
Woo! This is Dave Merkin, exec producer and showrunner.
This is Josh Weinstein. I was one of the writers of this episode.
Bill Oakley, the other writer.
I'm Wes Archer, the director.
And this episode was first broadcast December 16th, 1993.
Liar.
The News on Parade Corporation presents News.
So where did this episode originate?
We found a news article about there's some town, I think in Mississippi, that was going to introduce riverboat gambling just when gambling in other towns besides Vegas was becoming big. So we decided to steal that.
New gadgets. And Hollywood.
Bill and Josh, by the way, if you follow their writing, they love anything old-timey. And they love to write old-timey stuff, and they do it great. And this is a
thanks,
great...
chum. This is full of it. That was Joseph Kennedy, I think, shaking his head.
And say hello to the state's first aquacar factory.
I always wanted one of those cars when I was a kid. And there's a new one now, and it's $250,000, but they make it in England.
Everybody's chipping in.
And I'll get you the information. The information will be on the back of the DVD if you want to order one.
So watch out, Utica. Springfield is a city.
The mention of Utica is, I think, because there's always a lot of talk that Springfield might be near Albany.
Well, that appeared later in future seasons. Yeah.
The streets were paved with gold. They are.
Here comes a caricature of Jim Brooks coming up.
That guy in the beard. That guy?
Young Jasper.
Notice the movie.
Right, those are parodies of Jim's, dirty parodies of Jim's movies.
Yes! That kind of
yeah,
like
that
Brooks.
That is. Everybody wants something for nothing. Jim-esque.
Jim insisted that we use those movies.
As I recall, there was a lot of time wasted thinking up fake porno movie titles.
Well, all the freeze frame jokes that you see in The Simpsons often take 2 or 3 hours for us to come up with things that most people have too big a life to bother to look at.
Many two sides of an isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side.
That's a right triangle, you idiot!
Okay, so that's the Wizard of Oz quote from the Scarecrow, and doesn't that always bothers mathematicians, right? Because Homer gets it wrong, quoting it correctly.
The guy who's sitting on the John corrects him, though.
Right.
So, also, this in a lot of biographies now of Henry Kissinger, it mentions this appearance, even though it wasn't his voice, but I'll be very happy that when he dies, it will still be mentioned.
Oh, yes, in that really serious documentary about his war crimes, The Trials of Henry Kissinger, that scene appears.
Well, that is the definitive proof that he was a war criminal, that scene. My favorite part, by the way, is that Homer not only takes the glasses out of the toilet, but he doesn't wash them off before he puts them on. He cannot wait to get them on his face.
Better keep the egghead. It just might come in handy.
Dad, you shouldn't wear glasses that weren't prescribed for you.
Lisa, just because you're 10 feet tall doesn't mean you can tell me what to do.
I'm bored.
A way to draw that out of focus.
And finally, Henry.
Without it'd be easier.
Hospitalized today after walking into a wall.
Oh, a rare appearance by Scott Christian.
Economic news.
Very rare.
Things aren't as happy as they used to be down here at the unemployment.
We had to have Kent Brockman in the field.
That's exactly
right.
That's the only reason Scott Christian ever appears is when Kent Brockman is in the field.
I'm able to find a job in 6 years.
Huh. And what training do you have?
5 years of modern dance, 6 years of tap.
The economic slump began last spring when the government closed Fort Springfield.
Now, how many shows have we done that have talked about the trouble that Springfield is always in? Is this the beginning of the economic problems?
This was one of the early
back
ones.
To this many, many times.
That's one of the things that I think inspired this is because there hadn't been that many episodes about the town as a whole and how crummy it was. So we got to fill up almost a whole act with talking about how crummy and dismal Springfield was.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
And Apu is a little off model in that show.
So, Wes, you remember this, right? Yes, you remember this.
It was a little
this year. No, you remember this show. It always stuns me that you've done so many episodes, you've worked on so many different shows, that how can you remember specific? Can you remember specific scenes?
It's an exercise in controlled chaos, I suppose. It's a lot of jokes packed into the Act One. I mean, I tend to have, I think, I did sort of key layout poses throughout an episode. just to help out with the animation. And then occasionally there'll be a sequence where I will do extra key poses or even a bit of animation on it. Think of this episode, Mr. Burns has a transformation into a Howard Hughes type character later on in the show.
Oh, you're giving it away!
So. Well, now, are there any objections? They took a lot of that upon myself.
Actually, I think it might really help our economy.
It's a great transformation that you do with Mr. Burns. Great designs. I'll stay here and grow
fat off kickbacks and slush. That's a reference to the many times that Marge has been a big wet blanket to all the fun in the town. Previously, she tried to stop the monorail just a few episodes before this, I think, and this time she didn't.
If Marge has a catchphrase, it's, I don't think that's a very good idea. we tried to turn that into a catchphrase, and people never notice it, but that really is something she repeats again and again and again.
It didn't fit so well.
The t-shirts didn't sell
the golf
very well.
No, but
well,
we have millions of them, and we're willing to give them away. Build your casino on our waterfront. Oh, I'll never forget my carefree boyhood
days on this old boardwalk. Yeah, there sure is a lot of old-timey stuff in this episode.
Who are you? Master Burns! I mean, carry on!
Now, I love this when we come back here. This laugh thing goes on forever, and look at Quimby's expression when Burns is laughing there. Quimby seems to be enjoying. He's glad that Burns is having fun. And then later, Smithers is also indulgently smiling as Burns continues laughing.
I love that he's doing that while he's praying.
Yeah. Smithers also...
What am I laughing at now? Oh, yes, that crippled Irishman.
I guess how are you supposed to react when somebody's laughing crazily? You just stand there and smile indulgently.
Gentlemen, I give you Britannia, gambling with all the glitz and glamour of the British Isles. And best of all, the waitresses and showgirls are all real Brits. Fresh from the street to Sussex, they are.
Fresh in the street, Governor.
Get out.
An early love letter to England right there, and we eventually did an entire show trashing the place.
Oh, let me just get my head together.
No. I'll need 3 ships and 50 stout men. We'll sail round the Horn and return with spices and silk, the likes of which ye have never seen.
It is old timey.
There was a period for about a year where everyone loved the sea captain, and we just cram him in anywhere for any reason. That was one instance of that happening.
That's what happens a lot, is that we fall in love with certain characters and then start to hate other characters. And so we're constantly pushing some aside and jamming others in as fancy dictates.
You'll notice there's no Arnie Pie in this episode.
Yeah. But then later this season, Cletus was invented, and he took on the role of like the guy that was the go-to guy for about a year.
Trying to teach the baby to gamble.
Why?
I got a job at Burns' Casino. As you know, it's been my lifelong dream to become a blackjack dealer.
Your lifelong dream.
Among the writers, you know, you always think that when you see a show, that all the writers are in complete agreement about everything. And it's funny when you actually get to meet the writers that different people have really strong opinions. There are certain writers on the show to this moment just hate Barney. Just hate him. No matter how you use him or where you put him, they don't ever want to see Barney. And there's always these arguments in the room about who to use and who not to use.
Why do they hate Barney?
You see?
When I first started, Barney to me was the most amazing, hilarious thing. And every time he'd open his mouth, I'd crack up. And now I just sort of smile mildly. For special discounts
on. I won't say who, but somebody thought, you know, this decided, well, this is such a cliche character. But, you know, the show is full of cliche characters.
Yeah,
so why pick on one?
Beauty of it.
What was great about Barney was that it was taking a character that had been erased from showbiz, from comedy. You can't do the comical drunk anymore, right?
The funny drunk.
We do the funny drunk, but we also do him dark at the same time, which is we have the combination of the old-time funny, but then the modern-day drunk, nasty, dark aspect of it as well. So I do like it, and I love the voice that Dan does for Barney.
That's one of the beautiful things about animation, is that you can drag a lot of old stereotypes out of the closet, like, you know, the corrupt cop or the drunken whatever, and people love it. Whereas if you try to put that in a live-action thing, people don't like it so much.
You know, and I've talked about this with Matt before, too, is that Bart is such, like, he's so retro, and yet he was the hippest thing in the world, but he's this kid with shorts and a slingshot in his back pocket, but he looks so cool because of the cartoon. Now, this is the greatest prediction of the future.
It was a very unfortunate prediction.
It's taken on a rather grim cast, given recent events.
Yes, but it was bound to happen, and that's what this was predicting. You know, trying to force wild animals to perform night after night in a glitzy Vegas-type atmosphere will give you some sort of response like this.
They should have watched the episode.
This actually will also be the opening scene of Father of the Pride, which is coming out soon.
I actually met Siegfried a few months ago, and he said that the Father of Pride, they took a lot of inspiration from this show, not this particular episode, and he said, we wanted to make it like Simpsons, only soft.
Only soft, which means it'll just be hard to hear. They're going to play it at a slightly lower volume. By the way, these characters are not Siegfried and Roy. They're our own creation.
They're Gunter and Ernst.
They're Gunter and Ernst, and there's a possibility that Siegfried and Roy rip them off.
And I love animating white tigers and unicorns.
One thing that's particularly great about the animation of this episode, Wes, I think, is the lights inside the casino. The lights on the slot machines and the lights, the way that they radiate out is something that I always...
I love Homer's image of himself there, yeah. By the way, with the great arms.
The lights worked out well, and this was, of course, still all shot on film, the old-fashioned way. So, we were all very pleased that we got the exposure pretty good.
You know, in watching these episodes, I love the fact that you can see the by-hand aspect of them, that the colors change a little bit, and there's a little bit of, you know, it's much more alive than what we do now, which is so perfect-looking. Because of the computers.
I agree, and that's what we know, that coming up in two seasons, the controversy, as you'll recall, there was a lot of pressure to go to digital animation.
That's right.
And we all resisted it because we liked that hand-drawn.
Eventually, you just didn't have any choice around you because all the people that knew how to do this are dead.
This is another animal.
Very well animated.
Again, you know, we're trying to teach you that trying to train animals, you know, is an evil thing.
Definitely have to leave the table. This is a reference to Rain Man to people who are too young to remember.
Yeah, it's weird because Rain Man back then, everybody was doing it all the time, and now it's just like...
No, it's what is this? And excellent, and actually Dustin and obviously has done the show, but this is an excellent, excellent imitation of him by... Who's Dan? Who did his voice?
Dan?
See, he's so good, you don't even... Man. You know, we're not even sure. Who is it? It should be in our...
It should be in the thing. I
think it was Dan.
I think it's Dan, but I it's so good.
It's Pamela Hayden. No.
And the imitation of Tom Cruise was amazing.
It's exactly the way Tom is quiet. Exactly.
There was a brief period when this show had a whole different subplot, too, which was never came to pass, which is that whole Planet Hollywood... subplot. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And we were going to have Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone, and it was entirely written, and then for whatever reason it fell through.
Oh, I'll tell you the story of that. We were called, said, if you put Planet Hollywood in The Simpsons, we'll get you Arnold and Bruce Willis, and who's the third person?
Stallone.
And they want to do the show, and it was some
representative of
some
them.
Some publicist.
Yeah, saying, we can get you all three. So we wrote specifically with that promise, and obviously it never happened.
And also, this was one of the last episodes that Conan was here for the rewrite of, and I remember he did this hilarious Schwarzenegger thing, because he'd been writing the Hans and Franz movie, and that was...
Another thing that happened.
Yeah.
I love Barney paying off there. I did enjoy that.
Well, I think Barney's burping throughout the series has been a very good thing.
It has been brilliant. No, and I would say that Bill and Josh, having written the thing for Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Willis, they will kick your ass if they ever run into any of you guys. So
watch
keep that in mind.
Fine with us.
Krusty is the worst person in show business, by the way. He's the worst performer. It's amazing.
This is great.
Very carefully drawn germs.
Yeah, really good.
By the way, germ-covered Smithers will be available this fall. Look for that.
With real germs.
With real germs. It will be filthy. Your kid will get sick just getting near it.
Okay, March, let's go. I'll come after you.
Marge, I'm taking the car.
I'll walk.
Now, so this is the first time Marge gambles? So this is we come back to this many, many times over the years.
We do. We show her compulsive behavior in a couple ways. In fact, I think it's another episode of yours where she drinks. It's not actually that serious.
Well, that happened very early on. She got drunk at Burns' party. In like
That's right. She did,
Yes.
The other thing about this episode, as I was going to mention, is there was a great sequence that Bill and Josh wrote that involved the character of James Bont. B-O-N-T.
Well, that wasn't in there.
Well, I think we wound up having to cut it. After all that time, it became something that was cut, and I hope will be on the DVD as an extra. You know, we're putting extra scenes, because it's a very, very
funny...
It might
have been made...
you know what? I think we put that in that 138th episode.
We did, yes,
I remember it being broadcast.
It is. It did get broadcast, that's right. But it'd be nice to have it on, because it showed just the exact show it came from, and... the James Bont sequence.
Oh, come on, Lisa. There's no reason to... Let's go see Mom.
Have the drawings on the refrigerator ever changed?
I don't know. Probably. Have they? I think you may have a problem. One of the things I like about this old look is... I think it's been explained before, but... the backgrounds are also painted. And so there's a thickness to the numbers of levels... And that's one reason why you get those extra shadows and kind of the handmade look to it.
Lisa, what's up?
I just had a bad dream.
I like the sequence, and I think it probably scared a lot of kids.
We can only hope.
But I dreamed the boogeyman was after me, and he's...
Boogeyman! You nailed the window!
And great acting there, Wes. I mean, just what you did with Homer there is fantastic. But there may be a boogeyman
or boogeymen in the house. I think I remember getting some really nice sketches from Brad Bird on that storyboard sequence. Yeah. That would make a great sell.
Yeah, well, that's the gun pointing right at that we were discussing earlier.
Of course, none of this would have happened if you had been here to keep me from acting stupid.
Well, there's an extra joke probably thrown in at the mix, right?
Yep, the gun going off.
Yes.
That's the thing I think a lot of people don't know is how intricate and careful the sound mixing is, and the sound mixing guides we use are amazing with all sorts of effects.
Especially the laugh track, which we're very, very proud of.
I'm from A Casino.
Good enough. Let's go.
That was the first time that we ever did a joke that they thought was funny enough to actually hit the laugh track for. Up to this point, we've never been able to talk to the laugh track guy. He says, well, that's not really funny. Robert Goulet, by the way, was such a great sport doing this. He was a joy to direct. He had a great sense of humor, and it also performs this really, really well.
I agree.
Totally
his performance
it.
Is really top-notch.
It's nice when celebrities are really willing to make fun of themselves, which is rare.
Dad, Mom said she'd be home to help me with...
Look at him. Look at him. What was he doing before she got there?
Your mom still loves you. It's just that she has a career now. She's a slot jockey.
But, Dad, if I don't show up in a rubber suit shaped like the state of Florida, I'll be the laughing stock of the whole school.
Oh, it's always something, isn't it? First, I have to drive your pregnant mother to the hospital so she can give birth to you. And now this. Ow, 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 ow.
Dad!
Oh, yeah, the costume.
That's a gag we've gone back to many times.
No, Lisa. The only monster here is the gambling monster that has enslaved your mother. I call him Gamblor, and it's time to snatch your mother from his neon claws.
Gamblor was a great creation, and I'm really surprised that we haven't done a movie based on him. For absolutely no reason, he punches Robert Goulet.
Everybody wins.
Yay!
Seven. Lucky seven.
Yay! You can't talk now.
This is a great sequence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really well done.
Smithers, I don't want that unpredictable lunatic working in my casino.
Fine. We'll transfer him to the nuclear plant, sir.
Oh, my beloved plant. How I miss her. Bah! To hell with this! Get my razor! Draw a bath! Get these Kleenex boxes off my feet.
Certainly, sir. And the jars of urine?
Oh, we'll hang on to those. Now, to the plant. We'll take the spruce moon.
I like this.
Up in.
But, sir.
I said up in.
Homer's really strong to pull a machine off of its beard.
Very upset. And this, again, is a fantastic performance by Dan to be able to do that nonsense talking with all the meaning behind it.
Costume. You made her cry. Then I cried. Then Maggie laughed. She's such a little trooper.
Lisa's costume. Homer, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry.
This is very, very accurate to the way any kind of compulsive behavior, addictive behavior, is cured. It really does work exactly like this. But one incident, generally with the children, and it will turn everyone around.
Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost its wheel, and the Joker got away. Hey, thank you!
See, very, very committed to that song.
Special awards go to the...
That's something you want to see happen to Milhouse. Doesn't happen often enough.
Lisa Simpson and Ralph Wiggum.
I'm Idaho.
Of course you are.
You know, Marge, for the first time in our marriage, I can finally look down my nose at you. You have a gambling problem.
That's true. Will you forgive me?
Oh, sure. Remember when I got caught stealing all those watches from Sears? Well, that's nothing because you have a gambling problem.
It helps compulsive people to rub their noses in it, too. It's a good technique.
It's all great therapy. No, and actually, what is true here is we purposely did not have her cured. You know, we talked about it as something that she really realized, but there's no guarantee that it's all fixed, even though there's a pretty sunset. Don't be fooled by that. A Vegas-style ending by Alf.
We didn't talk about Jerry Cooney.
Now, I don't think I directed Jerry Cooney. I directed everybody else, but sometimes I couldn't get away to go at somebody. Do you remember who directed?
No, we didn't do it.
I heard that
directed himself.
We're not quite sure if that was Jerry Cooney. It might have just been someone... You know, in the soundstage.
I think it really was.
He was some other location, I think.
Yes, and I heard some talk that he did. He actually punched someone and hurt them badly. I hope that's not actionable, what I'm saying. No, he was very, very nice. Another great sport.